Hello and welcome back to a brand new episode. This is Kringle Talks Christmas. Back with me, Chris Kringle, your host. I hope you're well. I hope you're well into the Christmas spirit. I hope you're well into the Christmas season. This is technically episode 8. I think it's episode 6, but with the bonus episode of the Christmas adverts, UK Christmas adverts, this is episode 6. 7. What did I just say? I don't even know what I just said. Listen, I'm really enjoying the Christmas period at the moment, really enjoying the festivities, really enjoying seeing the Christmas lights and all of the Christmas cheer, and that's exactly where this podcast today is going to go. It is going to be about the history of London's Christmas lights. So we're going to jump straight into it. Christmas lights in London is very, very historical, and what would Christmas, or even the weeks or months leading up to it, be without lights? They make our trees twinkle, fill our windows with a welcoming glow, and set our streets alight with Christmas spirit. One city that takes its Christmas lights very seriously is London. A bright and eventful destination all year round, of course, where I'm from, but even more so in the build up to Christmas, one after the other, streets and squares are illuminated by elaborate light installations which transform urban spaces and alter the atmosphere of the city. But as well as being a dazzling spectacle, the history of London's Christmas displays can shed light on the shifting relationships between citizens, local councils, and corporations in the city. The tradition began back in 1954 on Regent Street when local retailers and businesses through the Regent Street Association arranged for a display. The aim was to show that post-war London did not have to look quote-unquote drab around Christmas. In the 1950s and 1960s, the installations spread to other streets, with the Oxford Street Christmas display premiering in 1959. Quickly, the lights grew to be a key part of London's festive calendar. By the early 1970s, however, economic pressures on retailers and local councils, combined with a darkening on public opinion, meant that London went largely without Christmas lights for several years. During the late 1970s and early 1980s, the tradition returned once again, an initiative of local traders' association. Now, from time to time, there's been a bit of a celebrity sparkle. Today, in London's famous West End, every street and square worth its name is lit up and presented as a sparkling centre of entertainment. And as 'tis the gift-gifting season, commerce, a dark, quote-unquote, street during Christmas time signals to consumers that there is nothing going on, while lights guide the way, generating excitement and attracting attention. To add to the glamour, lights are formally switched on each year by celebrities at crowded ceremonies. Big names in the past have included Kylie Minogue, who performed the Christmas light switching on Regent Street 1989 and Oxford Street 2015, the Spice Girls on Oxford Street 1996, and Helen Mirren Bond Street 1998. These switch-ons are usually organised to create a buzz, bring people together and kickstart Christmas shopping, but they can also be used for other purposes. For example, in 2016, in central London's Soho district, the Berwick Street switch-on was used to raise public awareness about plans to privatise the Berwick Street market. Joanna Lumley, who is actively engaged in the Save Soho campaign, did the honours. Some of the city's major cultural institutions got involved too. The Sugar Plum Fairy from the Royal Opera House's feature, The Nutcracker, performed and participated in the switch-on of Covent Garden lights in 2016, reflecting the area's close connection to the performing arts. Over on Carnaby Street, the lights took inspiration from the Victoria and Albert Museum's exhibition on the musical revolution and rebellion of the late 1960s. This ties in with the street's past as a hotspot of swing in London, quote-unquote. So these events present a fantastic opportunity to showcase the uniqueness of a particular area to Londoners and tourists alike, not least because the images of Christmas lights always do well on social media. But some ask, is it too tacky? Yet these festive displays have not escaped criticism. For one thing, Christmas lights are expensive. Many regional towns and cities have opted out due to budget constraints. There have also been some doubts as to whether they actually improve business. In 1993, the Oxford Street Traders Association decided not to provide a Christmas light display. Local retailers were reluctant to cover the costs because they were not convinced that the lights attracted shoppers. In the late 1990s, corporate sponsors tried a more direct approach, adding large brand slogans and logos to the displays. This time, the public complained that the lights had become too commercial, unimaginative, quote-unquote cheap and vulgar. prompting the Royal Institute of British Architects to invite architects to come up with new ways to improve London's Christmas light displays, the best of which were exhibited at the Museum of London in 1997. The RIBA campaign did not have an immediate effect. Just 1 year later, Regent Street was given over to the soft drink, Tango, which showered the area with bright orange bulbs and banners bearing the message, "Tis the season to be tangoed." The display met with some considerable public scorn, yet in 2016, it seems a different kind of branding is emerging, one which emphasises place rather than product. The North Bank Business Improvement District, BID, introduced Christmas lights to the Strand for the first time in 2015, emblazoning its name across the displays. This is part of a strategy to create a sense of place, which appeals to both visitors and investors, similar to what have been created and achieved on London's South Bank. Whether or not the campaign will be enough to replace the area's well-known moniker, The Strand, remains to be seen. It may be that this whirlwind of shopping, tourism, atmosphere, business, branding, art, innovation, celebrities, and photo opportunities has the power to bring us all closer together for a couple of months each year. At the very least, we can be certain that this year, 2021, Christmas in London's West End will be anything but drab. As we're able to get out again, we're able to go out shopping. And yes, we have, in London anyway, been told that we have to be wearing masks again due to this new COVID strain. The buzz and feel of Christmas around London's Oxford Street and Regent Street, as well as Winter Wonderland in Hyde Park, which is just opposite Oxford Street, has been absolutely buzzing this year. So that's my end story of the London Christmas lights. From Regent Street to Oxford Street to Berwick Street to Hyde Park and all of the likes. What do you think about it? Have you seen this year's Christmas display in Oxford Street or Regent Street? What do you think of it? I think last year they done a massive display for the NHS, congratulating them and thanking them for all the hard work they did during COVID initially. And this year is no different. We always say thanks to the NHS this year. And with lighting displays left, right and centre to say thank you, it's only fitting that this year continues the same as last. But that's it from me on this episode. I hope you've had a good episode today with me. It's very short but sweet, as we always do. As always, you can find me on Twitter at Christmas Talks, KRISTMAS Talks. I welcome you back every week, hopefully building up to the Christmas period, building up every day we get closer to Christmas. We'll be having more episodes out consistently every few days. And I just hope that we all have a lovely Christmas and we all enjoy the Christmas lights, because that's what this episode's about. Anyways, guys, have fun. Merry Christmas. Take care. And I'll see you all very, very soon. Bye-bye.